My name's Chris, I'm an addict. Good to be in the meeting, good to be alive. And yeah, it's good to be in the meeting, good to be alive. What can I say? You know, when I first come here, somebody said to me, don't worry, it's a selfish programme. I thought, sweet, I'll be out of 30 season. And somebody else pulled me aside and said, it ain't a selfish programme. It's a selfless programme, and I thought this is going to be difficult. Because, you know, I knew there was something wrong with me, and I knew it had something to do with being selfish. You know, because I've been told that many, many times. I was called, you're selfish this, you're selfish that, and you only think of yourself. And so I knew it had something to do with me. And, you know, I couldn't stop using. I couldn't stop using, and... You know, I was dying. I was walking around with a disease I didn't know that I had. And I could get taken away from the drugs, and, you know, I could get physically taken away from the drugs, jails, institutions, and I wouldn't get better, I'd get worse. My head would race, and I wouldn't be able to slow it down. And all I could think about was using again. It was like I was trying to grab something from my past that had worked for me. Because drugs had worked for me for a long time. You know, and then I knew that they wouldn't work, and then I still couldn't take them. So I was really caught, and, you know, at the end of my using, I was sort of... I was tired. And how else can I put it? I was tired. I was tired of living. And, you know, I was tired of living. And that's the best I could put, you know, the best part I could put. I couldn't put it any more simply than that. You know, I was on my own. I was on my own. I was lonely. I felt very cold. And everything that I thought was good about me had gone. You know, I had no love left. You know, I couldn't accept my love. And I couldn't give none out. I was sort of barren of that stuff. The spiritual part of me had just been torn to pieces, you know, through this allergy that I've got. I couldn't stop putting another one in me. And once I put one in me, I'd have put another one in me. Yeah, I know what happens after the first one, the second one. It ain't rocket science. I ain't got going to a big spill about it. I know what happens. I know. You know, and... You know, I ain't put the first one in for a little while. The first one ain't gone in my body for a little while, despite myself. And, you know, I was in a treatment centre after years of sticking the first one all over my body, you know, and I was beaten and dazed and confused, I think they'd like to say. And that's how I was, and I thought I knew it all. Because when I went in there, you know, I'm wearing a pair of size 30 waist jeans, and they're hanging down by my arse. believe it. Some people don't know me from when I was using. And I remember this counsellor saying to me, he said, you know, there's something wrong with you, and what it is, it ain't small. It's big, do you know what I mean? And, I sort of agreed. And then a couple of days later, we was having this key work session, and she said, you know, so what do you think's wrong with you? And I went, nothing. You know, nothing. You know, after that, I said nothing. You know, my honesty will come straight back in, my ego will come back up, and it's trying to get me up to a high spot so I can fall, and the fall will hurt, and it had been hurting for a long time. And, you know, people say I've had a charmed life, and I think I have. You know, I've had a charmed life, really. You know, because I've seen many people go, and you know, they've died, you know, and in the rooms and out of the rooms. And my sponsor told me, he said, get a soap. You've got to be burying people in this home. We bury people in this home. We got a disease that's, you know, incurable and fatal. And if I ain't treated, it'll take you out of the game. Because I've got the illness. I know I've got the illness. And everything I do on a daily basis is to prevent me from taking the first one. Nothing else. Nothing else. You know, and you know, thank God that I've got this program. You know, my managing director, he manages me and directs me. If I tap into him, and that's what he does. You know, I've got an hour power in my life. You know, I was at work today and 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm just starting to shift outside in Austin, where there's a lot of guys in a lot of trouble. And I get this phone call from my dad, and there's something in his voice, and I can hear him crying. And my old man's very proud. And you know, we lost my nan today. And I didn't go straight into that self-pity. That came a little bit later. You know, it does come. And so I spoke to my manager, and I went round to make sure I was in the house for when he got home from work, because he found out while he was at work. And, you know, I gave him a kiss, told him I loved him. And that was good. It was good. You know, I've had some wonderful experiences in Narcotics Anonymous. Everything I've got in my life, you know, I owe to you guys. What a touch. It feels like I didn't really have to work for much of it. I just had to, you know, follow a bit of direction. You know, and amazing things have come to pass for me. You know, I've got some beautiful relationships going on. You know, with men and women that I'm very, very close to, that I love and I care about, and they love and care about me. You know, there's certain people I find up every night and tell them that I love them, because we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. And I'm not going to wait till tomorrow, what I can do today. And that's a program I'm on. I work a one day at a time program. You know, and working through the steps was a beautiful experience. You know, I'm going through them again, because I ain't fixed. Some people know me, they know I'm not fixed. You know. And you know, life's got better for me. I'm not here to sell this program to anyone. You know, I ain't here to sell now. I'm not a salesman. My illness is a salesman. What he wants to tell me is, all this stuff's bollocks. You ain't really like anybody in these rooms. You're better now. It'll be different next time. Just don't bother doing your bit of service. You know, that's what my illness tells me. It tells me that I don't need it. And I've got an illness, I've got a disease that will speak to me when I'm in them low spots. I don't work the program for when I'm having a good day. You know, I work the program for when the shit is the fan, and it does hit the fan. It does. You know, beautiful things happen in Narcotics Anonymous, but let me tell you, pain is in the post. it's in the post, mate. It's on its way. If you ain't felt it yet, I'll tie it. You know, what a beautiful fellowship. You know, all that old tight. I used to work at the fair. I was 14 years old. I was in this cafe in Oxfordshire. That, I felt like I'd been abandoned. For what it was, I kept visiting my neighbours when they weren't in. And I got called too many times. So what had they done? Because they said, well, what are we going to do? I remember waking up one morning, I've got these two fellas in my room. I'm looking at my mum, she's got a tear in her eye, but I ain't really noticed. You know, and they've got fucking long hair and they're wearing flares and, you know, them dodgy old shoes. Clarks, I think. Anybody wearing clarks? And, yeah, a couple of social workers. And they said, we've got to take you down this place. What are we going to do? I'll take you down if you like it. We'll bring you back home, and then we'll take you back down at the state. So I get in this car with these two fellas, and I think myself, I should have been a bit more cute. Do you know what I mean? There's only two doors on the car, and I'll get in the back. I thought, do you know what I mean? Once you're in, it's a bit like this fellowship. And so we go bolting down this motorway. We're going for miles, and I've never really seen the countryside, and I just thought I didn't really like that too much. Do you know what I mean? You take the boy out of London, you can't take London out of the boy. And, you know, I get to this place, and they put up all these big houses, this place down in Oxfordshire. It's called a vocational centre for boys. I still don't know what that means. Do you know what I mean? I'm not sure about that sort of stuff. And, so I get there, and my experiences are running on self. I get to this place, I get out of the car, these two geezers get back in the car, they drive away, a geezer comes out of the door, he says, hello Christopher, are you going to be staying with us for a while? I said, no I ain't. I said, I'm going back home. Yeah. So So that's the sort of stuff I get myself into. Not just as a young man. You know, I remember getting nicked a couple of years ago. And it came on me in Hammersmith. I was waiting to pick something. I'd already been to work and well, I was out bathing. Everybody's exactly work. And there's two others come up to me. Well, I know one of them knew me, and I'm thinking, no, no, no. He said, what's your name? And I'm wearing a Paul Smith jacket, one I've nicked from somewhere. And I said, Paul Smith. He said, what's your date of birth? My date of birth is the 31st of the 1st, 68. I said, the 31st of the 2nd, 68. He said, try again. There's only 29 days in February. that's the sort of stuff I come out with. But, you know, honestly, hang about. This stuff just gets better. This stuff gets better. You know what, life can be tough. But you need to hang about. But you don't. I'm not saying trying to, you know, I need to hang about. I need to keep working the program. The only person I know is a true addict is myself. I'm an hopeless addict, I've got this illness. I'm fucking hopeless. I just hope the people around me have got the same one. I see a lot of laughter, do you know what I mean? I see, it's usually a good sign. But, thanks for having me tonight. Just let me share. Thanks.